Good afternoon. Thanks for coming and listening to myself and Daniela talk about what's new in Operations Manager 2012. My name is Åke Pettersson. So for those of you who are not Scandinavian, that's how you pronounce that. And I got Daniela Muschetta here as well. And we're excited to talk to you about what's new in Operations Manager 2012. So this is an overview session. So I should set, we want to set your expectations right up front that there's a lot of material to cover here, and we can't go into depth into all these topics. So at the end of this session, I have a listing to some other talks that go into more depth about things like application monitoring. There's a set of hands-on labs and so forth. We'll also be available for Q&A, obviously, after the session is done. So we have three goals with this presentation. We want to talk about how the investments we have done in 2012 help you reduce mean time to recovery. I mean, that's really what monitoring is all about, trying to fix things faster and providing an optimal monitoring service for your business critical applications as well as workloads. So things that how our application monitoring features can allow you to provide more context when you go to developers and say, hey, instead of maybe going to them and saying, hey, my application is slow, figure out why, you can provide a lot of context and saying, hey, the application is slow because of this SQL call using these parameters, and thereby giving the developer a lot more context about how to get started and fixing the application. Similarly, with the network monitoring features, getting more insight into what's going on, what's the health of the network, and approaching the network team with more information about, hey, we think there's a problem with this router or this switch. So again, fixing problems faster. Secondly, we want to talk about how we expand your reach essentially with Operations Manager, so that these new features allow you to get more insight into applications, into the network, into servers and data centers and so forth, and give you more information about and a more full set of information about what's going on. Thirdly, we want to talk about how you can visualize this information, all this rich data, in better ways than before, and also perhaps reach the people like the service owner, the application owner, that necessarily they don't want to have access to the SCOM console or the web console. Maybe they just want to see, the status of their application and how you can take some of that rich data and visualize it and host it in things like SharePoint without requiring, full access to the SCOM console itself. So before we dig into kind of what's new, let's look back a little bit at how Operations Manager has evolved. With a show of hands, how many of you started out with the MOM 2005? Okay, that's about, I would say, 20%. How many of you today use Operations Manager, any version? Okay, so that's about half of you. That's great. So with MOM 2005, we introduced. It was basically about workload discovery. There was some state-based monitoring, but basically it was about monitoring your workloads and monitoring your servers. In 2007, we introduced, it was kind of a revolutionary release. We introduced this concept of monitoring services and monitoring distributed applications that were hosted on many different servers. You could, contain websites and so forth. And really modeling those services, and also handling the health modeling of those services. In R2, we added monitoring for Linux and Unix, as well as the ability to track your goals, so your service level agreement. So you can have an availability goal for your application, for example. And then in 2012, one of the central themes that are very important are something we call 360-degree monitoring. And what we mean by this is the ability to offer different perspectives of application or workload health. So for example, with our application monitoring features, having deep insight inside of the application, so running inside of the application and tracking things like exceptions and performance violations, then moving outside of the application and running synthetic transactions, perhaps from within your data center that check availability of a website, for example. With Global Service Monitor that was announced yesterday, System Center in SP1, we will have the ability to check availability of your external applications from points of presence around the globe, so that if your customers are in Australia or in Singapore or Germany or whatever, you can check availability of your application from those points of presence. Again, adding another perspective. And finally, we also have kind of last mile monitoring. So the ability to check, you know, what is the real end user experience as they're interacting with your application in their browser. And again, even the ability to take a client-side monitoring event, as we call them, and link that with what's going on the server side to say that, hey, we see that this type of transaction is being slow, and actually relating that to what's going on the server side and saying, hey, when they do this transaction, this SQL call happens, and it's taking 4 seconds, and it's using these parameters. And again, being able for, you know, the operations team or the people that run and manage the application is then being able to go back to developers with that detailed context of what's going on. And of course, the network monitoring also adds to this 360-degree monitoring, this perspective of what's going on. And again, it's about visualizing health and basically solving problems faster. We also spent a fair amount of time in this release to ensure that we can reduce the total cost of ownership of the operations manager infrastructure itself. So simplifying the topology and enabling you to stretch your management group and grow your management group in more flexible ways than before. Perhaps if you want to add more features over time, and enabling you to do that in a more flexible way without requiring, you know, clustering or specialized hardware. Also, if we put Operations Manager in context of all of System Center, so obviously we fit in the application management bucket. So this is about deploying and managing applications. Also traditionally in infrastructure management, this is the area where Operations Manager has been traditionally strong. So this is management of your hardware, your fabric, and the workloads running on that fabric. Service delivery and automation is about, you know, workflow approval. An example could be if you want to introduce a self-service portal where you want people to be able to order new VMs, and you would have automation behind that workflow that basically provisions the VM in an automated way. So again, this talk will be a journey through this 360 view and the 360 perspective. So we'll start out by talking about the network, the infrastructure monitoring. Then we'll move into application monitoring, so that looking inside of the application and seeing what's going on from that perspective. And then adding the end user experience to that, the first mile, synthetic transactions from within your data center, and adding then the last mile or the real end user experience. And then we'll also look at the ability to visualize this in a consistent way. So one of the new things in 2012 is that we have a consistent UI. So whether you're looking at a dashboard in the kind of the thick console, the web console, or in SharePoint, they look exactly the same. And thereby, like I mentioned, you can start to reach more people within your organization with this rich data that we have in these dashboards. So let's start to look at infrastructure monitoring. Before, again, I go into what's new, one of the things that we made sure, since a lot of you are using Operations Manager today, one of the things that we spend a lot of time making sure is that your existing investments are preserved. So if you love audit collection services today, for example, or if you use the Distributed Application Designer to model your application, if you're using our templates today for OLDB queries, for example, or some other templates, these will continue to work, and they will not block you from upgrading, and they'll work exactly as they do today in 2007 and 2007 R2. This is particularly true for management packs as well. So we've spent a lot of time making sure that management packs are backwards compatible, and that if you have a 2007 environment today running a set of management packs, that these management packs continue to work and continue to work in the same way after you upgrade to 2012. In general, there is no need to write a management pack for 2012. So what you'll see from us, coming out to the management pack catalog in the future, our management packs, just like today, they work on 2012 and they work on 2007 as well. If you want to write a management pack that utilizes 2012 specific technologies like dashboards, what we encourage our partners, internal as well as external partners, is to write what we call an add-on management pack. So write a simple extension management pack that contains that dashboard and then extends the functionality on 2012 only, and keeping the base management pack intact and working as it does right now on 2007 and 2012. So again, no need for products to have a 2012 specific MP version. Also, in terms of the management pack ecosystem, I checked the catalog and how many management packs that were released to the catalog. Over the last 3 months, there were 47 management packs released by Microsoft and by Microsoft partners. So we have a fairly healthy ecosystem there. We have management packs that were updated for SQL. There was a base OS management pack that was updated just last week. There is an Active Directory management pack, J2E or JAE management pack. There's also a TFS connector management pack. So if your company is using Team Foundation services, this management pack allows you to synchronize alerts with TFS so that you can assign an alert to a developer directly in the OM console, so that when you assign that alert, that will synchronize with the TFS server and create a work item for the developer directly in TFS. So again, a pretty healthy ecosystem there. Also, if you were part of the 2012 TAP program or the Windows Server 2012 TAP program, you'll have noticed that we delivered 23, or Windows Server teams delivered 23 management pack with the latest milestones. And as Windows Server moves to RTM, these management packs will also be updated. And these were for the Windows Server functionality. So let's look at topology simplification and how we allow you to grow and expand your management group in more flexible ways than before. So in 2007, I talked about that as a revolutionary release and the ability to monitor services and so forth. So we needed something that could, for example, roll up health of all these components and all these services that are, you know, located on different servers and around your data center. We needed something that could distribute configuration to agents and do group calculation when you create your custom groups in the console. So what we came up with is something called the root management server, which I expect at least half of the room to be fairly familiar with. This was fine, but you basically had one server role doing a lot of work, and this required, you know, as if you started out with a kind of a small management group, it was difficult to grow. If your management group expanded over time, you needed kind of a lot of hardware to run the root management server. It also handles all the console traffic and so forth. Also, if you wanted high availability for this role, you needed to cluster it, which also introduced some complexity. So what we have done in 2012 is to remove the root management server. Basically, all management servers are considered equal. They can run on virtualized hardware. And as you add management servers to your management group, they will automatically distribute the workload between them. There's still, so that you still might have management packs that utilize the root management server. Maybe they target it for some monitoring. So we don't want to block upgrade because of that. So there is still an RMS emulator role that becomes part of your management group as you upgrade. And that will ensure that management packs, I believe the Exchange 2010 management pack, uses the RMS extensively. And those will continue to work also after you upgrade. But again, the main purpose there was to ensure that MPs work also after upgrade. So if you look at topology simplification, how this works, you can start out with a very, you know, kind of simple topology with a single management server. You have your operational database as well as your data warehouse in there. And just maybe as your needs grow over time, so this management server will do this dependency monitor calculation. It will calculate availability, group calculation, and so forth. And maybe you need to add 100 servers more or 200 servers more that you want to monitor. So you simply add another management group to your existing topology. So they will automatically figure out, hey, there's a new management server that's part of my topology now. And they will automatically also distribute the workload between them as the management infrastructure grows. As you add another management server, again, these workloads will be automatically distributed between them. Also, this means that we have high availability. So if one management server goes down, the others will recognize that and automatically take over the work that the other management server was doing, so thereby offering you the ability to have a more highly available monitoring solution for your company and for your customers. The other thing I wanted to talk about is something called server pools. So pools is essentially a way to designate certain types of work to certain management servers. So in this case, I'm monitoring, I'm doing some network monitoring, and I have, I'm introducing a pool. And basically this means that the members of this pool will share that workload and will manage the pool or manage the workload and share the load between them. In this case, for network monitoring, again, if one of the management servers within this pool goes down, the others will automatically pick up that workload, and again, allowing you to offer high availability, and you know, you won't have a blackout situation just because a management server became unavailable. And again, the other benefit with pools is that you can designate certain management servers to do certain types of work, if that's what you if that's what you want, if that fits your design. So that's the topology simplification. So let's move into network device monitoring now. So this is essentially an out of the box network monitoring solution that comes with 2012. There's no agents to install. There are no extra management packs to import. It's basically an out-of-the-box solution to discover the network devices that you want to monitor, start to monitor those, and also offer a set of dashboards and reports for those network devices. We also do something called server-to-network dependency discovery. So we have the ability to stitch together a server with the network devices that it talks to. And I'll demo some of that right away here. So that means that you can, if you have a problem with a server or with an application, you can relate that problem to what's going on in the network. We also support, you know, we have multi-protocol support, SNMP v1, 2, and 3, IPv4, and v6. I included a link to the devices that we support out of the box Operations Manager. However, for most devices, even if they're not on this list, we will be able to do up-down monitoring and port monitoring as well. There's also an extensibility layer here. So we added the ability to, if you want to add monitoring, SNMP-based monitoring, we added a set of wizards, authoring wizards, from directly within the console, so that you can do extend the existing monitoring if that's not enough for your needs. So let's look at network monitoring. So I mentioned the ability to relate servers to the network. So here we have a pretty small management group. You can see I'm in the Windows computers view. You can see on the right side is something called the network vicinity dashboard. So let's bring that up. So what this is going to do is going to enable me to see, you know, the computer itself, but also the network devices that are linked to this computer or are nearby this computer. So you can see the health of the computer itself. You can also see the health of the network devices, as well as the health of the link between the network device and the computer itself. So that's a first kind of layer of troubleshooting. If there's something wrong, if we determine there's something wrong with this particular node, we offer a second dashboard, which enables you to drill down even further into that particular device. So let's bring that up as well. And what that's going to show you is the vicinity view from the perspective of that node. You can also, if you want, you can expand this. So you can see more, you know, you can see a greater number of hops within the network. You can zoom around and you can pan around in this view as well. We'll show you also the availability of that network device, as well as a lot of kind of inventory information about the device, something that we had, we've had a lot of good feedback from our TAP customers around the usefulness of, particularly of the inventory. We track data such as the average response time, the processor usage, also the port information. So we can track status of ports and give you some information about the, you know, the data sent and received and so forth. Finally, at the bottom of this dashboard is a set of active alerts for this node. You can drill down even further. So let's say I'm interested in this particular port. And I can drill down into the network interface dashboard and see details about this particular port. And again, seeing bits sent and received, packets, discard percentages as well as alerts generated by this interface. So a pretty rich functionality in terms of visualizing, again, taking something from the perspective of the application or the computer and being able to relate that to what's going on in the network. And again, allowing you more insight. And you know, I have a consulting background, and some of the customers I met, there were sometimes frictions between teams. Like the application team would say, hey, it's a network problem. The network guys would say it's an application problem or a storage problem or something like this. But this enables you to have more insight, assuming you're from the operations manager side. You can go to the network team with more insight about, hey, we think there's a problem with this particular network device. There are more things than dashboards in here as well. So there's a set of views that you know, basic views that show you the state of the devices, the you know, routers, switches, and so forth, as well as a set of performance views that allow you to track, you know, the free memory, port usage statistics, processor utilization, and so forth. Let's also briefly look at the setup experience here. So in the to set this up, in the administration section, basically what it's very similar to the way that you push agents today in Operations Manager. So there's a discovery rule that you define, and then say, you know, what are the network devices that I want to discover. So notice here also you have the ability to dedicate this work to a resource pool. So that was the concept I was talking about before, so that a particular set of management servers can be dedicated to doing this work. You can also create a new pool if you want and put your servers in that pool. You can have explicit discovery, you know, if you know the network devices that you want to discover and you know their IP addresses, you can do it that way. Also, if you have kind of a seed device that you want to start from and you want to spread out the discovery from there, that's also something you can do. And then the community and run-as information, and then you can see the network devices that we discover. You can also schedule things. So you can say, I only want to run this on demand if the topology doesn't change that often. But you know, similar to other types of discoveries in Operations Manager, you can run the network discovery on a schedule as well. So that's a brief overview of the network monitoring functionality.
Switch to me for Unix. Hi, everybody. How many of you have used the cross-platform support in 2007 R2? Okay, not many, but a few good ones. So, as from 2007 R2, we support monitoring not just the Windows machines, but also of Unix and Linux machines of different distributions. And one of the enhancements that has been going on in this release has been supporting authentication based on SSH keys and allowing sudo elevation. This was a very important concern from some customers. They essentially told us that the Unix administrators don't like giving the root password to the Windows administrators in many cases. Therefore, it became necessary to support sudo, which allows you to do some sort of elevation, run-as, on Unix machines without actually having the password. And also, we are taking advantage of the topology simplification. Now that we have these resource pools, the Unix machines can be monitored by a pool. They don't get monitored by a single management server. Therefore, they gain high availability of the monitoring out of the box as well, just like for network devices. We've also increased the number of supported systems and versions because Red Hat released the new 6 release, and AIX also came out with 7.1. And also, as part of Service Pack 1, which is currently in the work, later this year you will see additional Linux distributions being supported. They are not right now in 2012, but they will be in 2012, specifically targeting distributions like CentOS or Ubuntu. which are, as you've seen, they're also supported in Azure at this point. Therefore, we need to have some kind of symmetry there. And we've also added some new command templates that you can run through, and I'll show you in a minute, to configure advanced monitoring through commands of your Linux machines in similar ways to what you were doing in Windows. So let's switch to my management server, where the connection seems to be a bit sleepy, but it will get awake in a second. So as you are familiar with the authoring section of the console, you have those wizards that you can walk through to create new rules, new monitors, new tasks. Those were very Windows-centric. So in R2, we started supporting Unix, but we did not... It's very, very sleepy. But we did not allow... Maybe I should open it again. Okay, it's waking up again. Took a minute. It's remote over VPN, so... So here I'm the Operations Manager console, and I'll show you, first of all, how you discover a Unix machine, and then how to create some custom rules based on Unix shell commands. As from the device management, as we're used to, you can do the discovery wizard, which has options, of course, to find Windows machines, and also has options to find Linux and Unix computers, as well as network devices. So let's go for Linux and Unix computers. The options here are fairly straightforward, but as you see, we also use a resource pool to do the monitoring. So I'll select my resource pool. Can be one of the built-in resource pool we have. You can create your own. In fact, if you have many devices, we do recommend you create your own, so you can dedicate a set of management servers to do that. And this part of the wizard has instead been redesigned, and we can enter essentially a discovery scope, so a list of machines. It can be IP addresses or names or ranges of machines. I'm not actually going to run the discovery, but just show you the options, so I just fill in something. This is the name of your machine. Discovery type, do you want to just find any computer or only the ones that already have an agent deployed to them? As you can see here, maybe you have pre-installed the agent, you don't want to push it remotely, that's both options here, which changes the way the discovery works. And you can specify credentials for each of these machines. This part of the wizard is the especially new interesting one, because it does allow you to specify usernames and passwords like in the past, but now also allows you to specify SSH keys. So you can import a certificate which is trusted by the machine, give the passphrase to open up the certificate, as a matter of fact, and you can say that this user that's mapped to the certificate is already privileged, or it might not be privileged, in which case, if I select the non-privileged option, here at the bottom, I get an additional tab on the left to say elevation. So in case that user is not already a super user, is not already with privileges, but is a normal user, I can tell how I want to do elevation to become privileged when needing to run privileged actions, such as the actual agent installation or things like restart of the service itself. Whereas for most of the monitoring, this is not actually required. Most of the monitoring runs without need for privileges. The installation, of course, requires that. So this is hopefully helpful in those situations where the Unix administrators were concerned about their security. I'm not actually going to run to this because it takes a while to do, and we don't have much time. And then I have my Linux computer discovered and showing up. In this case, I have a SUSE machine. The other interesting piece that I want to show you that has been added in 2012 is this Unix Linux monitoring and process wizards. They were actually already in R2, but they have been enhanced to some degrees. What is actually completely new, it's as part of the management objects, we can now create new monitors, new rules based on shell commands, which is very powerful. So for example, I want to create a new rule. And you can see that we have event-based, based on a shell command. Essentially, we run a command which returns some data, and we map that as if we treat that as if it was an event, like a Windows event, which could be the output of a script we already have on the Unix side, as well as we can collect them, or we have probe-based that produce performance, which is the one I'm going to show you now. The same options, similar options, are present also in the wizard for new monitors and for new tasks. In fact, when you want to try this out first, without knowing exactly how the output looks like, a good suggestion is to try it as a task first, so you can see the output coming back to the console and see how that feeds into Ops Manager, and then turn it into a rule or a monitor. We'll select one of our management packs, as usual, to be the container of my configuration. And I give it a name, tech add rule, and I say it's performance collection. I want to target some class like a Unix computer. Let's do a Linux computer. And I can do the usual enable, disable, like in every rule in Ops Manager. These are probably things that you've already seen elsewhere anyway. How often should it run? And here I just paste the command. So I can do something, I don't know, let's enumerate let's do netstat. I want to enumerate the number of connections on the system, and then I want to count the length of them. This is just some basic, simple command. But you could do more advanced things. You could call a script, which is already on the file system on the Linux machine. You could call some more advanced synthetic transaction type of things, and specify which Runes account you want to run it from, save it, and essentially the output of the command will be mapped, standard output, will be accessible to Ops Manager, and you can say what it's supposed to be looking like. So in my case here, since it's a performance rule, I want a number or something that looks like a number. And this is a simple regular expression you can test in Windows, just in PowerShell, for example, because the parsing actually happens on the server side. And if the command returns error code 0, so means it's successful, we go ahead and proceed to the next piece of the workflow, which is actually mapping this number to a synthetic performance counter that I want to create, which in my case could be something like netstat sample, and I want to have a counter which is connections, and then I want to have an instance which is something like total. Just I call it this way just so it looks a bit like the ones in Windows, so they look similar in a chart. And I go ahead and create it. Now, I've already pre-created this in this environment a few days ago, so it has been running, it's been collecting data. And essentially, if I go back to monitoring to my Unix machine and I just ask Operations Manager to show me all the performance counters it's collecting for it, I do get a counter, which is the netstat count, which is actually running this command every couple of minutes and collecting it as if it was a performance counter. Not very exciting in this one particular case, but it's just an example. But you get the point of how easy it is to add additional monitoring to Linux machines, which previously required kind of XML authoring, so a kind of advanced skill set to be performed. And that concludes the Unix demo. And we go into application monitoring.
So another big investments that we did for 2012 is the ability to do application monitoring. So already in Operations Manager 2007, you have the ability to run synthetic transactions from inside your data center. Like I mentioned, with Global Service Monitor, we're adding the capability of running synthetic transactions from external points of presence as well for your external facing applications. As well as the last mile monitoring. So this is, again, the browser experience or what the user is seeing as they're interacting with the application. And then the inside perspective, so the deep diagnostic information about what's going on in inside the .NET application as well. And then, you know, again, similar to network monitoring, there's no agent to deploy here. There's no management pack to author either. And your developers don't have to instrument the application. Basically, we insert ourselves into the application on the server side. There's a little bit of performance overhead tax with that. It's about 5%. But again, it doesn't require your developers essentially to do anything, and it doesn't require you to write a management pack either. And then there's a rich set of dashboards to start to visualize this information. So let's look at application monitoring. So as I install agents in my environment, they'll start to discover potential applications that you may want to monitor, and these will show up in the web application inventory view. And this doesn't mean that we'll start monitoring these, but we're saying that these are things that we discovered, and you may want to monitor these. So let's say I want to do that. So then we have a new template in the authoring space called .NET Application Performance Monitoring. I'll just walk through this quickly right now. There's a session on Thursday that talks about this in much more detail. This is actually a very, very advanced, a very flexible template that allows you to do a lot of things. So essentially, I decide what to monitor. So these are which applications am I interested in monitoring. So I pick those. And then I set some server-side defaults. Like, do I want to see performance events? Do I want to track performance of this application? So, and I set a simple threshold. So in this case, I've set a threshold of 1 second. We can also keep track of exceptions and the rates of exceptions as seen from inside the application. I can also, so that's the server side. I can also enable client-side monitoring. So again, this will instrument the application so that we can record what's going on the browser side as the users are interacting with the application. Similar here, I can set some simple thresholds. Do I want to look at performance? I want to look at exceptions as your users are seeing them in the console, and what are my thresholds for the performance-based alerts? And that's really all you need to do from a configuration perspective. After this, we're going to insert ourselves into the application. You might have to recycle either the application pool or IIS, but we'll notify you of that so that you can do this on a scheduled, you know, when it's a good time to do this work. And then we'll create a set of views in the monitoring section of the console. So in this case, I instrumented the application called Dinner Now. So you can see that we dynamically created a set of views that tell me about the health of the Dinner Now application. So there's a state view, there's a set of performance data that we collect, as well as all the components that make up this particular application. So I talked about kind of the richness of data. So let's see what this looks like. So here's an alert with a performance-based exception on the client side. So we had some browser interaction, and it was being slow. So let's look at the data that we're collecting for this. So this is from the client perspective, and you can see on the left side, you can see the, you know, what was the net, you know, how long did different things take, and there's a breakdown of, you know, the network request, the server response time, the load time, and so forth. And you can get a good understanding of what was the experience actually like on the client side. And then on the right side, we also track the page itself. What are the components of that page? And you know, what was taking long in terms of loading what's on that page? And again, trying to gather as much information as we can from the client side about what's going on. There's also more information in here. So there's, like, you know, what are the heaviest resources? If you're using JavaScript, what was going on there? What was the, you know, the content information, browser information, and so forth. So again, a very, very rich set of data that can tell me what's going on, what, you know, why was the experience slow from the user side? Okay, so that's kind of the client perspective. I could also we can also chain this together and provide you with a view of, so when this interaction happened, what actually went on the server side? And you can see a breakdown. In this case, we had a response time of 4 seconds, and this was broken down into two calls that happened on the server side. So if I'm interested, let's say I'm interested in this get restaurant categories call. I can basically see, okay, there was a SQL call going on here. So this is what happened on the server side as this client was interacting with the application. And I can go and look into, okay, so this particular SQL call was what was happening. I can see the parameters to the call. It was the Dinner Now database and the query name and so forth. So imagine having this set of information when you go back to the developer and saying, hey, this is why this interaction was slow. Again, compared with, you know, having much less context. So again, if we had the TFS connector management pack installed here, what you could also have done is to assign this directly to a developer in Team Foundation Services directly from within the Operations Manager console. So again, the ability to offer, you know, rich diagnostics about, you know, what's going on inside your application, and also linking that to what is the customer and the end user experience like. So that's a quick look at the application monitoring functionality. In terms of cross-platform support, we'll talk more about this on Thursday. But here's an overview of the different technologies and our support for those on the different platforms. And again, we'll drill into this more on Thursday morning. So again, I keep kind of harping on this point, but so what we're starting to walk through here is the ability to look inside the application and offer that perspective of application health, then running internal synthetic transactions using the templates that you have today. We also introduced a new template in 2012. Then doing the mid-mile monitoring using Global Service Monitor. I included a link here. So if you're interested in evaluating Global Service Monitor, which will be included in 2012 SP1, you can sign up for that today. There is a limit to this program, so we can't guarantee that everybody that wants to can get into it, but this is the place where you can go and sign up for Global Service Monitor. And then finally, the last mile, the client side, and really looking at the experience your users are having as they're interacting with your application. So we looked at the infrastructure, and the capabilities there and the simplifications we did. We've looked at the application monitoring side from the inside the application and also outside the application. So now let's look a little bit at visualizations and our capabilities there. So what we deliver it's kind of two buckets of things. So we deliver a set of dashboards with Operations Manager itself. So I demoed the network dashboards. We also have a management group health dashboards for the Operations Manager and the administrator. We've updated the service level dashboards so that you can express your SLAs and start to visualize those as well in better ways than before. There's also a map dashboard that I'll demo, and I included a link here. So you can, so by default, the Global Service Monitor tests will show up on the map dashboard, and I'm going to show you that soon. There's also a way to have your internal tests show up on the map dashboard as well. And I've included a link to a blog post that explains how that can be done. There's also SharePoint integration, and there's a link there to how you make these dashboards appear in SharePoint, as well as we're also bringing forward the Visio work that we did in terms of visualizing the infrastructure in Visio. So that work has been updated as well for 2012. And then if that's not enough and you want to create your own dashboards, there is an easy dashboard creation experience, a wizard-based dashboard experience, where you basically you pick widgets. So widgets could be like performance data or alert data or state data or something like that. And you basically pick the layout you want. You pick the counters that you're interested in, and then create your own dashboard. And then you can visualize this to the appropriate people in your organization. So let's look at dashboards. So I mentioned one of the dashboards is for operations manager for the operations manager administrator or targeted towards that persona. So we call this the coffee break dashboard. And the idea here is that we want to give the operations manager administrator the ability to come in the morning or perhaps after lunch and take a quick glance at this dashboard and basically decide if they want to take a coffee break or not. So one of the problems that the administrator has today is you have to go to many different sections of the console to figure out, can I take a coffee break or not? And the intent here is to be able to gather all this information from various parts of the console so that they don't have to do that, and they can basically use this visualization to decide whether they can take a coffee break. So on the top right side, you see the infrastructure, so the stuff that makes up your management group. You see the database, the data warehouse, the state of agents, and so forth. I don't have gateways in this particular management group. If they were, they would show up here as well. On the left are the functions that the management group performs. So in my case, you know, I have resource pools. So I mentioned there are a number of ways to use resource pools for network monitoring, for example. So I can see the state of my resource pool. I can see the state of data access. So these are my consoles, and can people access the operations manager in a good way or not? The management configuration. So this is the ability to send data out to agents. Is that function working or not? And since I'm using network discovery here, I can also see the status of network discovery itself. Is it working or not? If we move down, there's a list of active alerts. This is scoped to operations manager only. We didn't have this in R2. And then finally at the bottom, so two of the things that are essential to managing the management group is feedback. When we talk to customers, you know, the one thing they wanna make sure is that they don't have many versions of agents running out there. So this enables you to see how many, you know, the different agent versions that you have in the environment. And then agent configuration. So you might have something in the pending management view. You might have agents over there that need you to do something. Maybe you need to approve them or reject them. So this allows you to see that information as well. So that's one type of dashboard. I also mentioned SLA dashboards. So here I'm tracking. So here I'm actually using Global Service Monitor to monitor my Dinner Now application. And I created an SLA dashboard that tracks my target response time is 2 seconds. And I can track response time f- from different points of presence for this external web application against my target. So you can see Sydney, Zurich, and Singapore, and so forth. And I can track, you know, what is the user experience from these different points of presence as they're interacting with my application. Another example is operating system availability. So I can look at, this is also a custom dashboard that I created that I can use to track the availability of my operating system over time. Let's look at, so I keep talking about this 360 view as well. So here's an example of a custom dashboard that I built, and it takes like five minutes to do this. So how can I visualize the 360 view, and how can I visualize all these different perspectives of application health? So in this case, I'm looking at performance data on the top left. I'm looking at response times from an external point of presence. So in this case, I'm running a test from Stockholm. I can also look at client-side monitoring data. So again, I have instrumented my Dinner Now application, which is a .NET application, and I can see the client side. And in this case, there are many more counters than this. But this one basically tells me it's an indicator of activity against this application. How many requests per second am I getting? And then I can also correlate my response time with what I'm seeing from the inside. So this is the response time internal is what we're seeing on the server side in terms of, you know, how long are operations taking within this application. And then I can see performance events per second. So these are how many performance violations are we seeing on the server side when users are interacting with this particular application. So this is one way of visualizing the 360 view. I also mentioned the map dashboard. So let's take a look at this. So this view is included with Operations Manager 2012. So in this case, I'm monitoring the Dinner Now application. And like I mentioned, I'm monitoring this using Global Service Monitor. And in this map dashboard, I can basically see the status from these external points of presence. And this, as this comes up, these are the points of presence that we offer with Global Service Monitor. I can click on these, and I can see things such as the transaction response times, when did I last get data from this location, and what was the location like. As I mentioned, this functionality is included in 2012. So if you want to run transactions from within your data center and have them show up on the map, there's a blog post that I linked to in the presentation that tells you how to do this. You can also mix and match. So if you will be using Global Service Monitor, you can mix that, and you have data centers in your own locations. You can mix this data with what you're seeing with Global Service Monitor as well. There's also a second dashboard here that allows you to drill down a little bit more, and you can look at data from different locations and see more detailed data about transaction response times, types of first byte, content time, etc. And again, allowing you to drill down into what's going on in this particular environment. So those are some dashboards that we have out of the box. I can also, if you want to create your own dashboard, it's a fairly simple exercise. You basically decide what is the layout you want for the dashboard. You can see there's a service level dashboard or a, in this case I'm going to pick a grid. And I'm going to type in the right place. I can basically pick a number of different layouts that I want for this particular dashboard. So if I want 4 cells, I can pick maybe this layout, create the dashboard. So that will create it for me, and then all I need to do is to basically fill it with the information that I'm interested in. So do I want to see performance data? Do I want to see alert data? Do I want to see state data? Or you know, what is the data that I'm interested in? So let's have this visualization be created. And then basically what I do is I click to add, you know, whatever it is the data that I'm interested in here. And you can see there's a you can look at performance, you can look at state, you can look at alerts, and so forth. So it's a fairly simple experience to create your own dashboard. So with that, so we started out looking at our infrastructure investments, how we've simplified topology. We looked at the network monitoring functionality, how you can discover and start to monitor network devices. We then looked at application monitoring and how you can start to monitor .NET applications and get deep insight into what's going on from the outside perspective as well as the inside perspective. And then we also looked at the visualization piece, how you can use some of the existing dashboards that we ship out of the box, as well as create your own dashboards to visualize this data and make it accessible to people that perhaps you weren't able to reach before with Operations Manager. So with that, I want to thank you for your time. And I hope you have a great couple of days at MMS. And we'll be available here for questions and answers. Thank you very much.